We'll get this meeting of the Labor Administration, Finance and Policy Committee to order. I'll call the meeting to order. Members, this is, we got your rules, we sent out rules that are in your packet. We don't need to worry about those. There's a 24-hour, we do have a 24-hour request for amendments to bills. And I'll be flexible on that as long as it doesn't get abused. But that way we get a chance to get the stuff together in the packets ahead of time. And with that, I mean, the rolls being noted, we do have a quorum here now. And I'll go down the list here. We can identify ourselves and say a little bit about where you're from and what you, and who you are. And I'm Representative Michael Nelson. I chair the committee this year. My district is 38A, which is Brooklyn Park, and now I picked up Osseo with redistricting. So that's my district, and this is my 11th term, so hopefully we'll have a good time here. And Vice Chair Kayla?
Hi, I represent 55B, which is a sizable chunk of Burnsville. I'm a 20-year flight attendant and have held every position in my union from steward to president to master executive council, and happy to be here fighting for working families.
And next is a Republican lead, Mr. McDonald.
Yes, good morning, or is it afternoon already?
Yes, good afternoon, yes.
Joe McDonald, I'm in my 7th term now, and from Ray County, city of Delano, and I represent Ray County, but part of Hennepin and part of Meeker County with the redistricting. And this is my 4th year on this committee. And let's see, my wife and I have a photography studio. I'm a photographer by trade, so I'm a full-time photographer, part-time politician, as I tell the folks back at home. And good to be here on this committee, and happy to be the GOP lead and offer my assistance wherever it can be possible.
And the next person on the list is Representative Brian Daniels, and he's not going to be here today. The next one on my list here is Josiah Hill. Josiah.
Hi, Josiah Hill. I represent District 33B, which is the Far East Metro along the St. Croix River. My family lives in Stillwater, which we represent along with Bayport, Stillwater Township, May Township, Marine, Scandia, and part of Forest Lake. I'm thrilled to be here. I'm a career public school high school English teacher and served for the last 12 years until this opportunity presented itself as our Education Association president. So pleased to be here and like Representative Berg, ready to work on behalf of working families.
And I, going down the list here, I skipped Representative Greenman.
Good afternoon. I am Emma Greenman, and I represent 63B, which is the large swath of South Minneapolis. This is my 2nd term and my 2nd term on labor, and I am enthusiastic to work with all of you to ensure that we are empowering our working families and our workers in Minnesota.
Next, I have Representative Hussein.
Hussein,
yes.
We do have a Representative Hassan, so.
Yeah, that's right. I need to use that once in a while.
That's fine. Pardon. My name is Samakap Hussein. I represent District 65A, which is not a far away from here, like 2 minutes. I'm happy to be here and fighting for all Minnesotans. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Next on my list is Representative Jordan.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. My name is Sydney Jordan. I represent 60A, which is Northeast Minneapolis and Southeast Como. Grew up in a union house in a union town. Proud to still live in a union town. And I've worked as a union organizer for much of my career. Glad to be here for working families.
And Representative Kozlowski.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Representative Alicia Kozlowski, and I use they, them pronouns. And I'm really proud to be here representing Eastern Duluth and 8B. I also grew up in a union home, and my cousins are, you know, plumbers and electricians and iron workers, and I truly believe that supporting our working families and unions for all is how we're going to raise everybody and make sure that we have economic justice. So thank you.
Next on the list here is Representative Mecklen.
Thank you. Representative Shane Mecklen, I'm in my 3rd term. This is my 2nd time on this committee. I had a little 2-year sabbatical the last 2 years. Probably didn't miss much. It was all Zumba, yeah, land anyway, right? I represent district, was it 27A now? So it's pretty much Becker and Big Lake. I actually was pretty fortunate. My district shrunk quite a bit, and I'm confined now to one county. A lot less meetings to go to every night. So I'm glad to be back. I'm a licensed building contractor. That's what I do when I'm not here, and it's what I do when I am here, too. Luckily, I've hired some more people in the last few days or a few months, so I can actually be more successful when I'm down here. So thank you.
Next, I have Representative Myers.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So my name's Andrew Myers. I live over in the western portion of Lake Minnetonka, which is 45A. My district makes up about 11 cities in Hennepin County, small business owner, attorney, and I'm honored to be on this committee.
Welcome. Then Representative Schultz.
My name is Isaac Schultz, and I represent House District 10B in central Minnesota, where my family has lived for five generations. I represent a largely agricultural community in central Minnesota. And in addition to that, my family is a family of auctioneers. I myself am an auctioneer and the president of the Minnesota State Auctioneers Association, at least for like three or four more days. And in addition to that, I've served both as a member of staff here at the State House as well as the district director for the 8th Congressional District. And I've worked together with business, with labor, to move forward Minnesota jobs. And I'm excited to be on this committee.
Thank you. And Representative Wolgamott.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. My name is Dan Wolgamott, and I'm entering my third term representing District 14B. Which includes St. Cloud and Minden Township and Haven Township. I live over on the east side of St. Cloud, and I'm very excited to be on this committee so that we can work together and make a difference for working Minnesotans.
Thank you there. And to my right is our committee administrator, Travis Reese.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Travis Reese, committee administrator. This is now my third term working on this committee. Previously Chair Sundin, and then Chair Eklund, and now Chair Nelson. Happy to be back working with all of you on everything. I have been at the legislature since 2008, doing a lot of different things. I currently live in South Minneapolis. I have three kids, and so when I'm not here, I'm definitely there doing something for them because they're a lot. But I love them all, depending on the day. So. Thanks, everybody.
And we got our committee legislative assistant, Matt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Matt Bauman. I will be your committee legislative assistant for this session. It's my second session as a House staffer and first as a CLA.
Thank you. And House Research, we have Ms. James.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Martha James. I am the labor analyst from House Research. I will be staffing this committee, and this is my fourth session working on this committee. I also cover unemployment issues for the Workforce Committee and serve as the House Employment Law Council. Happy to be here.
Thank you. Next we have our House Fiscal.
Mr. Chair and members, I'm Helen Roberts from the House Fiscal Analysis Department. I'm a nonpartisan fiscal analyst. I have been with the House for quite a while, but I'm pretty new to this committee. I started covering it in the 2021 session.
And we have our GOP researcher.
Hi, Mr. Chair. Harry Kennedy, GOP caucus staffer, and been here since 2011.
And then we have our DFL House researcher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is David Sullivan. I'm with House DFL Research. I've been with the House and with DFL Research for 16 years now, and I think I've covered the Labor Committee the entire time.
Well, welcome, everybody. We have a page here. I don't know, Sarah, what you want to introduce yourself, and
you want
to come to the microphone.
Hi, I'm Sarah Jang. This is my second week as a page. I'm excited to be here.
And I'm not sure if she's going to be our permanent page or not, but go from there. Okay. Is there a House info writer? I got on my list here. Want to come and say your name? And
hi, everyone. I'm Steve Abrams. I'll be working for House Info, covering this committee this session.
Thank you. And members, like I said, I plan on starting on time, so if people can be here on time, and if for some reason you can't make the committee, or if you got if you got a bill that's up in another committee, inform our CLA so that we know, and if it's have a vote, if you got to go present a bill, tell us where you're going so that we can track you down. If we have a vote, that we have a voice vote that we don't want to miss, people to miss. So we've got a lot of things that are going to be coming through this committee this year, some big things that we keep hearing about. Hopefully we can be civil with each other and get through the stuff in a reasonable fashion and have a good time while we're on committee. So I guess any questions for anyone has anybody got, or if not, I guess for right now, that's what we've got here for today's committee. And we've got a bill up on Thursday. And our legislative analyst and I'm not reading my thing here. So Marta and Helen will do a overview.
Marta. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Again, I'm Marta James from House Research. So I staff this committee, so I'm happy to help with bill requests, if there's questions about bills that come up, amendments, of course, and anything labor-related that you may have questions on. I'm going to do a very brief overview of the policy purview of this committee that has typically and historically been heard in the Labor and Industry Finance and Policy Committee. So in general, the statutes that are covered by this committee primarily fall under the jurisdiction of the Department of Labor and Industry. You'll hear that referred to as DLI, sometimes DALI as well. Also, the other accounts for this committee, which my colleague will touch on as well, are the Bureau of Mediation Services, the Public Employees Relations Board, and the Workers' Compensation Court of Appeals. So the statutory purview kind of falls in one of those buckets. So you do have this in your packets, kind of the high-level overview of the statutes. So I'll just go through those briefly. So first, regarding workers' compensation issues, that's something that has been heard in this committee in the past. Workers' compensation, of course, is the compensation that is available for employees who are injured on the job. So Chapter 79 covers the insurance aspect of that. Employers are required to have workers' compensation insurance. And then Chapter 176 is the actual compensation system. Chapter 175A covers the Workers' Compensation Court of Appeals, and that is the court system for hearing workers' comp claims. And then you'll also notice that there's a provision in Chapter 175 that covers the Workers' Compensation Advisory Council. So every year or every biennium, there is typically an advisory bill that would be heard in this committee or has been in the past. Turning then to some of the DLI sections of statute, Chapter 175 establishes DLI and their power and authorities broadly. Chapter 177 has a lot of labor provisions that could come up in this committee. It does have the Minnesota Fair Labor Standards Act, and different provisions regarding minimum wage, overtime, some of the wage theft provisions, and also the sections on prevailing wages and authority for DLI and Attorney General enforcement. So like I said, I do cover this committee. My colleague, Anna Choline, also covers a few issues on this committee, and so she will be a guest star from time to time. One of those issues that she covers is apprenticeship training, and that's Chapter 178. She also, at the end of your list, covers 326B, which is construction codes and licensing. So that's the state building code, regulation of the building trades, and licensing. That's also something that's heard in commerce as well. And then she also covers combative sports, Chapter 341, which is a kind of unique issue area for this committee. So then turning to the second page of the memo too, A couple chapters that this committee looks at involve labor relations. So Chapter 179 is related to private. I'm sorry,
Mr. Chair.
Yeah.
What memo?
I'm kind of falling.
I apologize. I don't know that.
I don't have it either. So I was.
It's sitting outside.
Oh, it's sitting outside.
Yeah. I'll. Mr. Chair, can I make, I'll grab copies for the committee.
I apologize.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
It's sitting right by the, I'll grab.
Okay, that'll make a
I got it.
No, I was like, yeah. Well, no, I looked at you and I was like, ugh. Yeah.
Did you see us both looking at you? Like,
kind of.
I got it. I'm special.
Representative Wilmot has the memo.
Oh, yeah.
We're good.
Well, some had it, some didn't.
Okay. Yep.
That's right. James, exactly. If you want to.
100%.
If you want to continue that.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Jordan. I'm happy to go over anything I covered previously, too, if for those that weren't able to follow along. I am on the second page of the memo now that everyone should have. I think I was talking about labor relations. So Chapter 179 covers the private sector collective bargaining, organized labor provisions, a very narrow set of employers there. And then Chapter 179A is the Public Employment Labor Relations Act. You'll hear that referred to as PELRA. That governs public employee collective bargaining. That chapter also has the authority and duties for the Public Employment Relations Board, which is PERB. And that the PELRA provisions often are also heard in state government finance as well. Chapter 181 is another chapter that has a lot of provisions. It broadly covers the employment relationship and rights of employees. Certain things from this chapter could pop up in this committee. I'll just go over, again, high-level things like payment of wages, whistleblower protection. This section, 181.939, is the nursing and lactating employees language that was passed in 2021 and also includes things like leaves and workplace drug and alcohol testing. Chapter 181 also has some of the wage theft provisions. Chapter 181A is the child labor sections, and that covers things like day, hour, age, and occupation restrictions, and also occupations that they're allowed to do as well. And then finally, Chapter 182, the occupational safety and health. So in Minnesota, there's a Minnesota state program for OSHA that's commonly referred to as MinOSHA, and most employers are subject to both of those if they're applicable, but it's a state plan program. And they cover workplace safety and health provisions. Like I mentioned, those last two chapters are covered by my colleague, Anna. I'm happy to answer any questions about some of these statutes or the specifics of what the committee has heard in the past. And I'm, like I said, happy to help on bills or anything else that might come up this session. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Ms. James. Any questions? Representative McDonald.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a question regarding the Workmen's Compensation Advisory Council. What would you say is the percentage of their findings and recommendations that this committee should or have take in council and approve?
Mr. James?
Mr. Chair, Representative McDonald, you know, I'd have to look at the legislative history. My general sense from staffing the committee is that most of the recommendations are largely generally approved by the committee, and there's typically bipartisan support. A lot of the Workers' Compensation Advisory Council recommendations are highly technical, and so they also come in and explain those. But my general sense is they have largely been approved in the past.
Representative McDonald.
Thank you very much. And then, Mr. Chairman, because the last couple of years, the Advisory Council, of course, has some great advice for this council or this committee. And at the end of the day, it's your chairman, your decision to seek their counsel or approve it and pass it on. But there has been some good advice from that council, but in years past, this committee hasn't always taken that good advice. So I'm just curious if you can gauge that with that council that we will probably take their advice, and even if it's conflicting for in a current bill that might be in ahead of us. Now, when nobody has a crystal ball, but I'm just curious as to what your thoughts are on that.
In the past, I've actually served on that advisory council, and we serve on that as the legislature. There's a majority and minority House member, a majority and minority Senate member, and we're just basically advisory to it. We sit on the board. The board is made up of labor and management, and they hash things out. And it's my understanding it was created a while back, but it was created so that we didn't have big swings back and forth, depending on who was in power on workers' comp issues, because that didn't help industry and it didn't help the workers. And so generally, I think we should look at their recommendations and pass them, but we're the ones that have the ability to pass the laws. So we take what they give us. And usually they work it out between both sides so that it's good for both business and it's good for the workers, hopefully, when it comes from there. But we try and take what they give us.
All right, very good. Good to hear, because that is one of the committee I decided to sign up, where there must be umpteen advisory committees in the state of Minnesota. I think it's 4 pages long, and I did sign up for that one. I haven't been chosen yet, so I just was curious. I think it's a good connect with this committee.
Yeah.
So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And having served on it before, I know what they do. I've been there, served on there with Representative Gunther.
Oh, very good. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions? Ms. James? If not, Ms. Roberts.
Mr. Chair, members, before I begin, I just want to make sure everybody has the spreadsheet. Looks like they do. Okay, again, I'm Helen Roberts. I'm from the Nonpartisan Fiscal Analysis Department. And my responsibilities to this committee are to track all of the budgetary decisions that the committee makes. I request fiscal notes for bills for the committee. So if you have if you need a fiscal note, or if you have a question about whether you need a fiscal note, you can talk to me. And then I try to answer any other questions members have about the budget and fiscal issues, and can provide additional information as requested. So today I'm going to give you a really quick overview of the budget numbers for the committee. I'm using summary level information and only showing the base for the fiscal year 24-25 biennium, since this will largely be the focus of the committee's work. But I'm always happy to provide additional detail or history if you want that. And just because I know we have a few new members, you'll hear this in fiscal committees, the term base. And what that means, it's the starting point for our discussions, and it actually is defined in law as the second year appropriation carried forward with any dictated adjustment. So we are basically looking at the fiscal year 23 appropriation carried forward for the starting point or the base. This committee has jurisdiction over three agencies. The first is the Bureau of Mediation Services, and you can see that at the top of the spreadsheet. This agency is funded through a direct general fund appropriation, and the fiscal year 24-25 base is $2.3 million per year. The next agency is the Department of Labor and Industry, or DLI. I will probably slip and call it Dolly because I've been around long enough that that's sort of how I think of it, but DLI has seven programs that are funded through a variety of funds. The general fund base for the agency is $3.5 million per year, and the all funds total is $185.2 million for the biennium. The first program is the workers' compensation program, which is funded through the workers' compensation fund. And you'll see on the spreadsheet there's two lines. The program receives a direct workers' compensation program to administer the program, and then the benefits are paid through an open appropriation. And the what that means is there's actually a statutory provision, not something that this committee has to do every 2 years in their bill, but it's in the underlying statute, the amount needed to pay those benefits. And the total estimated expenditures are $74.5
$4 million for the biennium. Excuse me. The second program is the Construction Codes and Licensing Program, which is funded through industry license and permit fees. And the total estimated expenditures are $70.9 million from the Construction Code Fund. I'll also note that this program oversees the Contractor Recovery Fund, so that's this special revenue amount that you see on the spreadsheet. Third is general support. So this is the administrative support for the department, and this is funded from the Workers' Comp Fund, and the base for 24-25 is $12.3 million for the biennium. The fourth program is labor standards and practices, which is funded through appropriations from both the general fund and the workforce development fund. The programs of this division, including wage theft and the oversight of nursing mother provisions, are funded through the general fund. The apprenticeship programs, prevailing wage enforcement, and the LEAP grants are funded through the workforce development fund. Moving on to the combative sports office, this is funded through license and event revenue, which is deposited in the special revenue fund, and you'll see this is a small amount of $172,000 for the biennium for that office. Sixth is the workplace safety program, which receives a direct appropriation from the workers' comp fund, and it also receives some federal funds. So that total from the workers' comp fund is $10.1 million for the biennium. And the final program is the Workforce Development Program, which is funded appropriately from the Workforce Development Fund. This program includes the Pipeline Program and the Youth Skills Training Grants, and it's at $3.2 million for the biennium for the base. And then the third agency is the Workers' Compensation Court of Appeals, which is funded through the Workers' Compensation Fund. So that's a real brief overview of the base. I did want to point out that hopefully in your packets you have some additional information that looks like sort of like this. And what these are agency profiles and base budget pages that are posted on MMB's website. So the agencies and MMB have put this together. They posted them at the end of the summer. And these are, if you're new to this area, really good starting points to just learn about what the agency does, because they'll describe their different functions and how they're funded. And also, if you're on other finance committees, there it's a great place to start too. So I think that's about all I have. Again, please feel free to contact me if you have any budget-related questions.
Any questions for Ms. Roberts?
Mr. Chair, Ms. Roberts, under the labor standards and apprenticeship, the nursing mothers, I had forgotten what that particularly does. I mean, I know what a nursing mother is, of course, but what kind of policies or procedures do they have to help nursing mothers within the workforce?
Ms. James. Ms. Roberts.
I will have to get back to
Sorry to catch you off guard. Yeah.
Yeah, I did not... Sorry, Mr. Chair, members, I didn't cover this committee at when it went into conference committee, so sometimes I'm a little bit lacking in the knowledge of it.
I think Ms. James has an answer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative McDonald. So I think off the top of my head, that's 181.939. That was, I just looked at
it. You're good, you're good.
I just memorize everything for this committee. So that was passed in 2021. Again, I'm trying to remember exactly, but the biggest part of it was that employers would be required to provide paid break time, essentially for lactating or nursing mothers. So they would you could use existing break time, but they wouldn't be unpaid. There were some provisions based on the number of employees. I would have to double check that for you, but that was generally what it was about.
Representative McDonald.
Thank you very much. Yes, I do remember now that you mentioned that was part of it. And the reason I asked is, one, it's noticeable on a spreadsheet, and then just when I went outside to find my glasses that fell out of my pocket, there's a door right outside room 10 here on the side for nursing mothers. So, and a mother was trying to get in there. So thank you very much for that.
Any Anybody, any other questions? If not, that's all on our agenda. I got to make sure this first committee meeting that I'm sharing here today, and it's been up since last year, and being on Zoom, it was different, and so we all got to get back in the swing of things. Well, members, it's good to see you all and have you on committee, and hopefully we can get some good work done this year and have a good time doing it. So,
here, here.
Thank you.
With that, we're adjourned.